Anybody that knows me knows that I'm more comfortable down at the back than up here at the front, but it's good to have a testimony, and I just pray that even this word will be to the glory of God tonight. I was born in Ballymoney, and I was brought up on a farm outside of... put on these glasses. That'll help. Outside Ballymoney, I was brought up on a farm on the banks of the Bann on a townland called the Eden. Went to Eden Primary School. I had the great privilege of having saved parents, and every day I saw even the reality of their salvation in their lives. I was brought up in Cabra, Free Presbyterian Church out in the country, and the minister at that time was John Wiley. I'll just tell you this, I remember whenever I was a youngster, a 3 or 4, playing with marbles, and you'll realize why I'm telling you this, but my mother told me later on that, remember about Cabra, there was always great singing. It was a wee church, and the singing was always very loud. And they came to that hymn, How Marvelous, How Wonderful. And I sung How Marvelous. So my mum reminded me of that. At least I was singing. Maybe I wasn't singing the right words. But at Sunday school, I heard that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved. And I knew from my own life that that was true. I remember stealing money out of my mother's purse. I remember at school on different occasions, I remember fighting and being angry and all those things. And that just proved that I was indeed a sinner. I attended children's meetings down in Bandura, Orange Hall. It was a lady, saved lady up the road that ran them for years. And there again I heard that I was a sinner, and also that there was a Saviour who died on the cross for my sins and was willing to accept me and save me from them. The night that I got saved, there was a visiting speaker, and he left me home, and just before I got out of the car, he says, are you saved? And I said I was, and that was a lie. And I went into the house that night, and I come under great conviction of sin, and I felt the real burden of my sin. And that night I knew God was really dealing with me, and I simply, in childlike faith, I simply asked the Lord Jesus into my heart to save me and take away my sin, make me ready for heaven. And I know that night that I was saved. And I had a peace and a heart in my heart that I never had before. But you know, months after that, I remember having doubts, and many young people have doubts. And I remember getting out of bed, maybe I'm sure 4 or 5 times, and asking God to save me. And that was just not realizing that we're not saved by feelings. There's days maybe we don't feel saved, but we're saved by faith. And we're saved by trusting and resting on the promises of God. And there's a verse, John 6:37, that became very dear to me. And it says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I just rest it even on that verse. I left the Eden Primary School, went into the town to Dalriada, and I made a big mistake there by not coming out and telling my school friends that I was a Christian. As the Bible says, I hid my light under the bushel. And I had no other saved friends in class, and that didn't help, but I just went with the flow and went with the crowd. And soon the Bible reading stopped, the praying stopped. I hadn't the same interest in the things of God. Remember in my early teens going around, we had a wee group, I think there was 6 of us, and there's a man called Bobby Dunlop, and he preached around the mission halls. And in fact, I remember going to the Christian Workers Union and different mission halls around the country, as far away as Ardstraw down at the border. But I was, all these things were done for the wrong reason. I would have around there and just went around just to please certain people. But you know, whenever I got to the age of 17, I can say that things got worse in my life, because I got a car, and brought up with my brother being a mechanic, and Akadui, the stock car stadium, was just a few miles away, and there was the noise of cars every Friday night, and I became what's known as a petrol head. And anything that revved, I was interested in it. And I would have spent most of my wages that I got, I was serving my time for the electrical trade, and I would have spent my wages all on cars, and it became a real obsession and a real idol in my life. And of course, we're told in the first commandment that we should have no other gods before the true and living God, and this had become a god in my life. And it just goes to prove the devil knows our weaknesses, and he will use it against us. And we heard last night about the subtlety of the devil, and he was subtle and taking the thing that I was interested in and using it even against me. Also, the devil as a liar, and a liar from the beginning. He said to me, you know, there's things you have missed out on in your life. Brought up in a Christian home, sheltered, there's fun out there, you haven't experienced this and that and the other thing. And I was running about with friends that weren't saved. They were good enough young people, but they weren't saved. And I remember one night, they would have smoked in my car, and I remember coming home. I remember it was a winter's night, a cold winter's night, and I had all the windows down in the car to get the smell of smoke out so that my parents wouldn't find out. I was still scared of my parents at the age of 20. So maybe if I had a wee bit more of that in society today, it wouldn't do any harm. But I respected them, and I tried to, although I was doing things that were wrong, I tried to make sure that they didn't find out. I knew that I would annoy them and sadden them. But you know, the scary thing is all the time that I was living in this way, I was at church on Sunday morning, I was at church at Sunday night, I was at many of the youth meetings, I would have been maybe at the Castle Well in youth camp, and many people looked at me and probably thought, you know, Derwood's doing all right. And you know, during the week, I was not going on with the Lord. I was like living a double life, and that's possible for a believer to put on a show and to put on, to live and talk the talk and really not be walking with the Lord. And that's what I was doing, and I wasn't happy, and I let on I was happy. Talking to him, I was having a great time, but deep down I knew the peace had gone and I was looking for things in other places. Things were to change, thankfully, for me, and when at age 22, well, actually a couple of years before that, my sister went off to Switzerland to the CEF college to train there, and over there they made out a prayer list and shared it with all the students, and little did I know that my name was even at the top of that prayer list, and people were praying for me, and I thank God for that. One Sunday evening in 1982, I was in my own church, the Ballymoney Free Church, and the minister, as far as I know, was Leslie Curran now, but I'm just not sure. But it was Matthew 14, and he was preaching about Peter walking in the water, got out of the boat to walk to the Lord Jesus, and he took his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes on other things. And, you know, God spoke to me that night and just really made me realize that's exactly what I had done. And I had went away from the Lord, got my eyes on lesser things and the things of the world. And he was wanting me that night to return. And that night I went home, remember going just to my room, and I confessed my sins to God. And of course that was no shock to God. God seen it all, unfortunately. But like David in Psalm 51, I just prayed for to be cleansed and washed, and for the Lord to restore even to me the joy of my salvation. And you know, that's exactly what he did. I remember that night. I know there's no such thing as being saved over again, but I just felt like that. There was this peace and joy come into my heart, and I enjoyed the preaching of the word, enjoyed praying, singing, all the... I actually thought on the words I was singing. I remember before singing hymns, and if somebody had asked me, what were you singing about, when I sat down, I wouldn't have had a clue. I wasn't thinking of the words at all. And I had desires to serve the Lord in some way, and I began to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I got involved in children's work and Sunday school work, and got involved in the radio ministry as well. And these were things that a few months before I would have had no interest whatsoever in. And it wasn't just me turning over a new leaf. It was God actually. When God speaks and we listen, well then things change and things happen in our lives. And many things had to change. I remember getting into the car and getting all the four-track tapes of, I'm giving away my age now, it was, I think, Dr. Hook and the Eagles and things like that there. But I remember taking them all out and chucking them all into the bin in the workshop. And those relationships had to be broken up. And God was just really helping me and giving me help to sort my life out. I was witnessing more at my work as well, and where I got opportunities, was able to give tracts and leave booklets with people that I was working to. I was seeking to serve the Lord, something that I hadn't done and something I should have been doing for many years. In 1983, I met Linda, and of course you know her. She went to the Korean church here, We were married in 1985. That was the best day of my life. I see Linda's wrote that in here. It's her writing. But no, it's not. That was a good day, the best day of my life, apart from the day that I got saved. Of course, we could say it's the second best day of my life. And we had two daughters, and they were both saved at the age of 4 and 5. They're nearly 30 now, and they're married, and thankfully they're still going on well with the Lord. I've 6 grandchildren. Recently, the oldest two have got saved, Noah and Lily. And God has been more than good to us and done even more than we deserved. A few years ago, God led us to co-reign Free Presbyterian Church to worship and labour for Him. And we've been mightily blessed through the preaching of our pastor here tonight. And about 5.5 years ago, God spoke to us about street work and outreach work. And so we started just on a Saturday night going out and speaking to those that were going around the pubs and going to the nightclubs and various towns, Ballymoney, and then we're down in Port Stewart a bit. God has really encouraged and blessed us and given us even a work there to do for Him. You know what? We need to work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And, you know, there's no point in wishing that we had done more. The time to do it is now, whenever we have the health and the strength to labour for Him. Now, well, I wonder tonight, even have I been speaking to some, maybe a backslider, and maybe you can identify with some of the things even I have said tonight. Well, you know, the Bible says and that God wants you to return, and you'll have no peace and happiness in your life until you do. And I'm speaking from experience in that. Malachi 3:7, he says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." He's waiting patiently for you to return and to get your life back to what it should be. It's not until you do that that you'll have that, really that peace and that happiness, that true happiness. I know sometimes the happiness doesn't reach your faces, but every believer has that God-given peace and contentment in their heart that only God can give them and the world can never give them. If you're not saved tonight, you know, sin is deceiving. Sin deceives and sin destroys and sin damns. Nan and I was driving through Belfast one day, and there was this sign out in the front of the church, and I thought it was so true. It said, "Sin is like a credit card. Enjoy now, pay later." And you know, so that's so true. So many people, and they're going out after the things of this world, and there is an enjoyment in sin, but it doesn't last. And it certainly will, if you go out to meet your Maker and have sin that's unconfessed and sin that's unforgiven, well then you will pay, and you'll pay very dearly for it in a lost eternity forever and ever. I just hope tonight that even these words of testimony will speak to you. I just pray that even that if you're unsaved, you'll even do, as the hymn writer puts it, that you will swing your heart's door widely open, and that you will bid him enter while you may. Amen.